What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
All right, what's going on out there? This is Bolt Brady and his bro. Welcome in. It's the best place for your sports gambling information. What's happening, Bolt?
We're sitting here Tuesday morning after Monday Night Football, and was that a doozy again?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the last two total stinkers from the Broncos, but they're still a tough watch.
Well, how about there was a stat on the Thursday Nighters, because you know that was Chicago and the Commanders last week.
Yeah, and I told you I wouldn't turn it on.
I still had her on. They threw up a stat that there'd been, between the two Thursday night games, the other one being the Colts and the Broncos, 40 drives, 4-0. Without a touchdown.
Showtime.
That is showtime. I mean, that's what people turn in for, is to watch a field goal battle.
The Commanders Bears, I would look on like the Gamecast, like ESPN thing, and it was just 0-0.
thought you were watching the MLB playoffs.
Well, I was just making sure I made the right call, not throwing her on, and I did.
Nice. Well, so yesterday, you know, we were texting back and forth with some friends, and I'm like, I'm going with Russ here, and the handicap for me was Staley. I mean, both the coaches are garbage, but Staley thinks he's playing Xbox and he tries to do all these, you know, fancy formations. And then what I really mean about the Xbox is he goes, I'm not punting here. I'm not kicking the field goals. And that's what cost him last night. That shouldn't have even gone to overtime. It was 4th and 2. And I'm like, go for it, big guy. And they get stopped, sure enough. And I'm like, there's the handicap. Thanks for the W, Staley.
Well, Denver, their defense is pretty good. And, you know, I had Mike Williams for fantasy. We just needed, like, 2 points out of the guy. And you could tell they keyed on him to lock him down. He had one catch in the first half for 8 yards.
Right.
And he didn't get that second catch till, I mean, what, under 2 minutes?
Well, I think, yeah, no, because I had turned the game off because I could tell they're just going to kick the field goal here. And you text me and you're like, yes, Mike Williams.
So, I mean, their game plan was like, let's take him out. Keenan Allen's already out of the game.
Right.
And let's have him throw to these other dudes. And if look at it, the Chargers receiving core, those dudes are yoked.
Where are they?
They're all single-digit guys, like 1, 7, 5. Palmer.
Yeah.
They're all just big dudes. And, you know, the other three did fine. It's just crazy. Their offense doesn't really hum. Eckler gets some runs here and there, some little screen passes. But, you know, you take out Williams, it was a struggle for them, too.
Well, you know, we don't need to dwell on this game too much, but here's a crazy stat for you. So, Herbert threw the ball 57 times. It's the most someone's ever thrown the ball without a touchdown. Because, I mean, think about that. 57 times and you didn't get one touchdown.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think Russ only had 3 completions in the second half.
Right. 3 out of 15. But remember, I was defending him last night saying, terrible coach, shitty O-line, the receivers dropped the ball, and his running backs aren't that great either.
But he's not as accurate, and he's not humming it like he did the last few years either.
Well, didn't he just have surgery like on his lat or something? I mean,
no, it was strained. There's no surgery for Russ.
I thought he had surgery. But anyway, I mean, what if we find out that this guy's like toughing through something that most people would be sitting out on, you know?
But what if he's not hurt?
Well, we'll have to find out later in the season here.
You know, you got some new owners here with the Walton Group. Coach's piece, and then, you know, they'll try and make it work with someone else before they trade someone. But you can kind of see those receivers over there just chitting on the sidelines, going up to Melvin Gordon and being like, this is crap, man. Like, give me the pill.
I need the rock here.
He's not even hitting me when I'm open. this ain't the Russ I know.
So that was kind of a crap game. That was a stinker. What games did you like this past week?
The one that I liked was my favorite was Cincy New Orleans, which you and I disagreed on.
Wow, the reason you liked that because that was a small backdoor. Wow, was I pleased when that happened?
Jamar Chase on the sideline to the house.
Oh my God, without a backdoor.
The Saints are gritty. They fight, you know, especially at home, but they're staying in these games. And Dennis Allen's kind of like, I haven't decided about the quarterback this week. It's like, what's there? Jameis should not get back on the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would never touch him when Jameis is on the field.
I love when he plays, because then you're like, the Lions, I'm like, okay, let's go against the Saints here.
Right. That's when the fade comes on. Well, there's another instance this week where a backup quarterback comes in and I go, this is an upgrade. And the line really hasn't made a move towards that yet, but I think it will continue to grow. The Commanders are throwing in big Heinicke.
Yeah, you like him.
Yes, I do. He slightly puts in full effort. And I think right now they're plus 5.5.
Yep.
Let's wait for it to get to 6. If it gets to 6, it's a play on the Commanders.
It's Green Bay's coming to town against Washington. It's just Green Bay has not looked very good this part of the season, and I don't know why they're favored here, really.
Well, the other thing is Randall Cobb has been his guy, especially on third down, you know, because he's like the only veteran on the team, and he's out now. Like,
yeah, high ankle sprain. He was getting carted off.
Wow. So, I mean, you take him out of the equation. I mean, like 6 points on the road. I mean, listen, the Commanders should have lost against the Bears on Thursday night. That was a joke. but like I said, Carson's out of there. And Heinicke balls. Like he's aggressive. He's the dual threat. And I think like the team's actually going to rally around him and be like, okay, let's get some W's now.
Yeah, I've been here. You know, they're kind of saying Rivera could be on the hot seat here real quick too. So he's playing with his job here. Like you might not get Wentz back on the field if Heinicke makes a little run.
Right. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if that gets to a 6, we like the Commanders, which I believe it probably will by the end of the week. And speaking of plays, one of our listeners had mentioned that it might be helpful to clarify teasers again, especially since we've been mentioning them a lot on the podcast and they've been doing well. Last week we had the Saints. I can't remember the rest of them off the top of my head. But anyway, we gave out like 3 of them. So a teaser is when you can take 6 points, 6.5, or 7 points. And obviously it costs more, but it's only minus 120 to do a 6-point teaser. And what you get to do with those 6 points is you get to use them with any team that you want. So for example, we were talking about the Commanders this week, okay? You could move them, if the spread's 6, let's say, you can move them up to 12, or maybe you like to move Green Bay from the 6 down to a pick'em, but it could be any game you want. So let's say you like Green Bay. So you move Green Bay down to a pick'em, and then you go, oh, the Raiders, they're playing Houston. I'd like to move them from 7 down to 1. So your teaser is Green Bay and the Raiders. And then I'm going to use one more example when it goes, you know, the other direction. The Colts this week are getting 3. Well, let's take 6 points and make them plus 9. And then another team is the Jets are playing the Broncos. They're plus 3 also. Let's move them up to 9. So you'd have the Jets plus 9 and the Colts plus 9. And that would be your teaser right there.
Great. That'll do it for the teaser class for today, everyone.
Well, hey, you know, it might be helpful for people out there, especially if they're winning.
Yeah, totally. They're good to do. You just, your odds change, so you don't win as much because they're, you know, putting them more in your favor typically.
Well, so both teams have to win. And then that's the thing. If one of them ties, in some places, it's a no bet. In some places, even if one of the teams tie, you lose. So you got to kind of check with your book there, which is crap if you lose. But that's what some of these books are doing. But it's advantageous to go through the 3 and the 9. Don't get carried away. And you see like this week, Carolina plus 10.5 and go, wow, I'd love to have them up at 16.5. No. You want to do it where you're going through the 3 and the 7 because those are the two numbers that games land on the most. So I don't want to go into any more details on that. But if someone has questions, feel free to email us and I'm happy to answer it for you.
Yep, it helps. Yeah, last week was tough for me. Other than that Cincy game, there was a lot of bad games. I thought Arizona would show up.
So did I.
They did not.
No, that was ugly. In fact, that was the one loss that we gave out last week. The Colts being the winner and the Ravens under being the other winner with the teasers. But
speaking of the Ravens one, that it came down to that last play, right? It stayed under by a point.
Yeah.
And Saquon
goes, let me take a seat for Bolt Bradenius, bro. Here.
He goes, guys, screw my fantasy people here. Let me plop on my rear for you at the one.
Yeah.
So we keep it under.
Yep. I know. That was awesome. Yeah, the Cardinals, that was good looking. So they didn't even get an offensive touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, I know DeAndre's coming back, and we'll get to their game this week later. It's just, it's crazy how Kyler's even like, he's like, man, you know, shit ain't been this hard since my rookie year in terms of scoring and moving the ball.
Right.
He's like, I don't know what the problem is with our offense, but it's not doing much. And I think Hollywood Brown just went out.
He did.
So I think he's probably out this week.
But did you see who they picked up?
Yeah, the guy Anderson from Carolina that threw the fit.
Yeah, Robbie.
During the Rams game.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson. He's got to probably be the skinniest person in the NFL. Like, literally, next time you see him, just take a look at that guy. I mean, most guys in the NFL are pretty yoked. That guy's by far the skinniest. But anyway, he's a speedster. So, yeah, he's coming over, which they're going to need. I mean, they've shown a million times on TV the difference when DeAndre's on the field, like, points-wise. It's almost a full touchdown, which is a boatload of points. So I'm sure Kyler's stoked to get him back.
Big time. Because, I mean, he's the difference maker, obviously. But there's Kyler's kind of throw it up, and there's those guys that you trust where it's like, all right, if it's the 50-50 ball, DeAndre's going to get it or at least knock it down. And some of these dudes just don't have that capability.
I know, which is incredible.
Yeah, you're paid out there. Come on, go for the ball. If you don't get it, bat it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, once again, it was another weekend where it was like the drops. I actually took a look because I was like, God, the Broncos have a lot of drops. Are they number one in the NFL? And they're like number seven. They've got 10 drops in the NFL. You know who has the most drops in the NFL is actually Miami. They have 14, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, I think some of the other things that stood out for me is what I think's real funny is, and you'll hear you'll hear people talk about this, like last year it was with Patty and this year it's with Joe Burrow, that defenses are playing the quote unquote cover two.
The two shell or whatever.
And it's really, really giving them problems. And the cover two is when there's two safeties back, basically. And guys, hate to tell you this, they've been seeing the cover two since high school. So it's not the cover two that's slowing these guys down. I mean, it's incredible. Wow, the cover two, it's just really throwing Joe off his game here. Yeah, Joe's never seen the cover two before.
Joe was getting, he was getting hammered a couple of times. I mean, his line wasn't really hooking him up. He was just getting plowed back, and then he stays in there, and he'll eventually get you.
Right. One of the things that I might have missed on that handicap is when I liked the Saints is that he was coming back home to play, you know, college, basically.
That's where they won the national championship, too.
Right.
In that building.
Right. So they've got the good feelings there.
The other one, I liked Tom going to take on the Steelers, but that was before Tom didn't let me know he was going to go to that wedding for Robert Kraft.
Dude.
Robert's fourth wedding, which, I mean...
Is it his fourth?
Yeah, we had to go to that one.
Right. Well, so it was a surprise wedding, apparently. He didn't tell anyone.
But, I mean, Belichick passed on it because it's during the season.
Yeah, I know. And so, and Tom's like, yeah, let me cruise up there on the Friday night. That's why some people are like, not sure about Tom's commitment here. And I'm like, I might have to agree with him on that one.
Friday night goes solo. And then he misses the Saturday morning activities.
Right.
And he joins them by Saturday evening. But, you know, then they show him barking at the guys and stuff during the game and some retired guys like Whitworth. And like, dude, don't come barking at me when you're not there for the full week and through the activities and stuff.
Big time.
Because it's not the full buy-in.
No, I totally agree with that.
And we've always got Tom's back here when he's all in. I just... Tommy, I need to know if you're going to stuff like that, if I'm going to
throw chips on you.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, how about people would really like to know that took him for Survivor? I mean, that'd be brutal if you're sitting there like, yep, Tom went and bashed on Friday night. Because remember, Tom's not just going there to show up. I mean, like a lot of his buds were there and they're not playing. And so they're like, Tom, let's whack back some tequila over here. So Tom's feeling bueno.
I'd love to know that.
I bet you he is. I mean, you know, I don't know. He's not like stumbling drunk where they have to get the Uber car for him and throw him in it by himself. But
he's not a huge drinker anyway.
Well, I mean, dude, who knows?
Right. True.
I mean, he watches, you know, his health, obviously. But I mean, he had some. He had shitty night's sleep. Let's just put it that way. And then, you know, you play in Pittsburgh, and that didn't go very well. Yeah, the survivor people that had Tom and Aaron aren't very happy.
Well, and by Saturday, you know the Steelers hear that he's not taking them as serious, too. So they're like, dude.
Right.
He thinks he's going to just steamroll us here.
Well, so now the Bucks are giving up 10.5 on the road.
So I like them though here for the bounce back, because I think he's like, okay, screw this. It's time to zone in this week.
So you have no problem giving up the 10.5.
I'm seeing 10 here, Tampa at Carolina.
Okay.
And I liked Carolina last week going to the Rams, and it was close, but they lost.
Did you watch the game?
I watched most of it.
PJ. I mean, no joke, like we say, might as well got the guy from the YMCA to play quarterback. He didn't throw a ball over 1 yard. He didn't complete one ball over a yard. Even the guy, I tuned in for a little bit. It was a good-looking game. Even the announcer's like, wow, can we throw the ball a little bit downfield besides the wide receiver screen? He's like, this looks like my son's flag football game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing to me that an NFL quarterback is just throwing wide receiver screens like one after another. That's how scared they were for this guy to throw it downfield. And now he's banged up. So they had this Eason cat come in. I mean, the quarterback situation there is not good. Yeah, I mean,
no, Anderson got shipped out, the receiver. You could tell the Wilkes, the temporary coach, was trying to get McCaffrey the ball a little bit more.
Oh, a ton.
But it's like, who doesn't know that's coming?
Well, so I think they had like just over 200 yards total, and Christian had 150 of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you take on a little bit, you know, better of a defensive-minded coach like the Bucks. They go, let's shut down Christian. And this is going to be a boat race.
Yeah, so I'll take the Tampa here and the bounce back.
Yeah, I would probably lean with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know which game a lot of so-called smart money was on? Actually, I went the other way on this one. Is people keep backing the Jags against the Colts. And it was surprising to me because the Jags have lost 12 AFC South games on the road in a row. And all of a sudden, they think they're going to go in and beat the Colts. Not happening. Not sure if you saw Matty Rye, but he finally got some time to throw, and he was balling.
Yeah, my boy Pittman Jr. went off.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And so the Colts took care of business without their best defensive player, Shaq, and then Jonathan Taylor on the bench, and his backup, Hines, was on the bench, and it still didn't matter. So the reason why I bring this game up is because, but now, so I've been going against the Jags. I think I'm like 2-0 or 3-0 going against the Jags this year. So I think I've got a pretty good read on them. This week, though, I actually like them. They're -3 against the Giants. The Giants literally are the luckiest team in the NFL, just judged by turnovers and blocked punts and whatnot. The run is going to come to an end here a little bit. They're 5-1. And if you recall, I had their back to take second in the NFC East, and you laughed. Mm. Remember?
Yeah, I had the Eagles. But yeah, you did have the Giants second.
Yeah, but now this is just too much of a run for them. I mean, they went to London, won. Then they took out the Ravens. And I just think they're going to run out of a little gas here. Jags play better at home anyway. I like the Jags. Best bet, -3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great turnaround by Dable and that coaching staff. I mean, they look a million times better than they did. And you don't hear about Daniel Jones being shipped out and stuff. They're like, well, this is working.
Well, and remember, because I was saying Daniel needs a little time, and his best players not on the field with him. I mean, you know, what's Michael Jordan going to do without big Scottie Pipp? Like, you need someone to help you out a little bit.
Mike's still scoring 45.
But they're not getting the W's.
No, not as many.
Yeah, they're not getting the W's. And so, and then on the other side of that, the big Colts travel in. And another reason why I liked the Colts last week is because they'd already lost to the Jags. They got waxed 24-0 on the road. Well, earlier this season, the Titans came in and beat the Colts on their home field, and statistically it shouldn't have happened. I won't bore you with the details, but now the Colts, the revenge, +3. I'll take them, and I'm actually going to tease them as well. Colts +9. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, they play the Chicago Bears at home.
Yeah, Monday night.
Historically, Bill craps on quarterbacks that have only been in the year 1 or 2 years. Let's move the Pats down to the 1.5 with the Colts +9. So that's our teaser right there, folks. Pats are going from 7.5 down to 1. That's -6. And then the Colts were adding 6 to their score, +9.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I might be okay with the Pats, even just the 7.5 against the Fields and company
here. I hear you. I don't have anything against that. Yeah, that is that's also going to be a huge coaching mismatch as well.
What is the deal here with some of these squads just getting, like, it looks like they give them a Thursday night game on Amazon Prime, then they give them like the Monday game the week after that, like the 10-day break, because the Broncos had it the flip before here.
Right.
But we don't need Chicago on national TV here anymore.
That's true. Yeah, that's true, right? Chicago goes Thursday and then Monday again. Yeah, and wow.
That was the Broncos the week, 2 weeks prior. I know later in the season that Sunday night game becomes movable. You know, they can kind of interchange it as the teams look crappier.
Right.
Or better.
Right.
Like that the Bills-Chiefs game, that should have been the Sunday night game.
Totally.
Which was a great game.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know why they would put Chicago in this many games. Like, who's thinking that these guys are going to, in primetime games, who thinks these guys are going to ball?
There's some sort of league stipulation. I think you get one or two, I think, during the season, because they need some fairness here for marketing.
Mm.
But it's a tough watch.
So back to the Bills, KC. So I don't know. For Circa, I actually had KC. I don't know if you did or not.
The two games last week, the Bills Chiefs and the Cowboys Eagles, I said they were just kind of coin flips for me on the point spread. So I was leaning with the Bills, the 2.5 point favorite, and it came down to the end.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, Patty obviously threw the pick at the end, but he also threw a pick in the first half, like they're driving and he tried to squeeze it into double coverage. And when they're in the red zone, I was like, no,
both those quarterbacks are pretty sweet. It kind of like going sideways and kind of winging it sidearm or, you know, they look pretty athletic as they move the ball around.
Well, Josh Allen, that guy's a joker. How about when he hurdles the defender?
Mm-hmm.
He's easily playing the best in the NFL right now. Shep, there's your MVP. I know you said it, buddy. He's balling. I mean, he's on a mission. I was thinking about, like, so they beat the Ravens on the road. They've beaten KC on the road. I mean, those are arguably like the two other best AFC squads.
The Dolphins, they ran out of time to spike and kick a field goal.
And they, like, statistically, it should have been a blowout. They had literally had twice as many yards as them. So yeah, right now it's you know, it's not even close, really.
Yeah, I mean, people love the Eagles because of their record.
Well, I'm talking the AFC.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the top two teams.
I, you know, believe it or not, I think if the Niners were at full health, that they'd be in the conversation, actually. It sucks. You know, in the Circa, I took the Falcons and the points, and it was just because of the injuries. Like we were saying, big shocker. Nick Bosa didn't play with that hamstring. Armstead was out. I mean, dude, that's their two, like, bookends, right? They're two defensive ends. Those types of injuries are huge. It's like TJ Watt being out with the Steelers. There's some injuries like, hey, this receiver's out. You know, that's not that big of a deal. But when it's your stud, like your best players are out, I mean, obviously that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, if you're not putting pressure on those quarterbacks, Mariota looked pretty good, and he would kind of, he's a good runner. So if he didn't see his first or second option, he was out of the pocket and he'd go get a first down on his own.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's really crazy. Like, if there's no pressure on, because what most of the teams are trying to do is they'll have, like, what they'd love to do is have four to five defensive linemen putting pressure on the quarterback, and they have everyone else drop back. That's what every defensive coordinator's dream is to get pressure with four or five guys so they don't have to blitz and they can go back. What happens is a lot of times that doesn't work, and you see it with any NFL quarterback. They could just sit back there and pick anyone apart without any pressure. So then that's when they have to start blitzing guys. Well, if you're blitzing guys, there's not as many guys to cover. And so you can see, you know, the chess game that goes on there. But that's why defensive pressure from linemen is so huge, like what the Cowboys can do or the Eagles can do. They can apply pressure without blitzing.
Mm-hmm. The Eagles have good lines on both sides of the ball.
They sure do. I mean, that was, I don't care what the score was. That was a boat race. I mean, they were waxing them. It was 20-3 at half. You know, remember
the Eagles game?
Yeah.
But it came down to that kick.
No, I know it did.
And they would have covered.
I know. That would have been garbage if that happened.
I had the Cowboys. I was like, oh.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
For six, the circa?
Six, no, 6.5.
For a bet. Yeah, I know that field goal. But remember we were saying with Cooper, and that this is the reason why I went against him. We were talking about the luck factor, and he'd had like four or five different balls that should have been intercepted. What I mean by that is two of them were intercepted, but there was a penalty, so you know it didn't count. And then the other three like hit the guys in the breadbasket, and they dropped it, so it caught up with him, and he had three picks, and it was ball game.
Which is probably better for Dallas with the Dak coming back and stuff.
Right. So Dak's coming back -7 against Detroit.
Yeah. And Detroit had the bye week.
Yep. And historically, teams that come off the bye week and go on the road actually play better than teams that are on the bye that are at home. So, you know, the thinking possibly could be there is the guys that are on the bye at home, you know, they're taking the kids to school more. You know, they're kind of getting pulled in all kinds of different directions. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see if Dak's back and just plugs right into having the timing that Cooper had with those receivers, because they did look better. I mean, Noah Brown and CD were getting open downfield.
Yeah, Lamb's badass. Like, he's actually watching him. I'm like, he looks like he's one of the better receivers in the league now. Like, he's just like, get him the ball and he makes things happen.
And their rushing game was looking better, so that opens all that up.
Yeah. Zeke was kind of balling there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, dude, I'm going to lose my spot here.
Right.
If I don't get going. And he looks in way better shape, too. The pot belly's not hanging over the belt anymore.
So what do you got this week? What's sticking out?
Well, so I like Indy +3. Right. And I like the Jags -3. And then we had the teaser, the Pats with Indy. And then one other teaser that I like is the Raiders. Okay, so yep. We mentioned that they're -7 versus the Texans.
I've got them down here. They're at home. They had the bye week.
Yep.
I'll take them at home -7.
They're 1-4. Like, they're going to need to make things happen here.
Devontae's going to be pissed about that, shoving that guy and stuff.
Right, yep. I'm with you on that one.
He's going to lose some dough over that.
Yeah, so I like them. I like the Raids. But that's, you know, I've got some heavy leans. Seattle +7 against the Chargers. Like, you know, I'm not going to get carried away with Seattle here, but I mean, this is 6 weeks now that they've played pretty well. And the Chargers, I mean, 7 points. Who are they to give up 7 points?
Mm-hmm. I'm Keenan's supposed to come back. The Seattle, the one thing, you know, they've hung with some people or beat some people, but it was Lions. Arizona has not looked very good. And Atlanta has been covering, but they're a 500 team right now.
Well, and Atlanta, actually, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have heard, they're the only team in the NFL that's 6-0 against the spread.
Which is crazy.
The ATL, how many points are they getting against the Bengals this week? Is it 6? I think it's 6. That'd be great if it got up to 7. If it got up to 7, I'd fire on the ATL. I don't think.
Oh yeah, it's 6 right here.
I don't think the ATL's get enough props yet. Like, I'm not so sure that the Bengals should be giving up 6 points right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every game that they've won, with exception of the Jets, it is a close ball game. You know, like, they're having to pull it out at the end. So I'd lean with the ATL or there too.
What about the Chiefs are coming to San Fran, -3, coming off a loss?
So the thing is here that's scaring me away from, you know, well, first of all, like I said, I believe it or not, if the Niners were healthy, which they're not, so I need to see that injury report. I would like the Nines here. Historically, just doing this for a long time, when you're a home dog, which KC was, and then you go on the road and you're a favorite, history is not good to teams like KC like that. Like, one second you're getting points at home and now you're going on the road and you're giving them up. That's like, that's a little out of whack there. So I would have to lean with the Nines there, believe it or not.
Yeah, the injuries are huge there. But yeah, if you're looking at the NFC, I still think Tampa and the Niners will be there at the end. When healthy.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'd like to get the Niners healthier, because again, like, Jimmy, I watched most of that Atlanta game and Jimmy did good. Like, dude, I don't know who the receiver was, some no-namer cruising down the middle on a post route and he dropped it. It was a touchdown. So Jimmy's doing his part, actually.
And sometimes it shows like a pick in the box score, but it's like he, before half, he chucked it up.
Right. Yeah, it was like a Hail Mary.
Yeah, so it's like, that's one of the picks right there.
Yeah, exactly. So Jimmy's playing well. The run game's doing its thing. The defense is, you know, still doing pretty good. That was just, in my opinion, like, people thought that was a good spot for the Niners, because historically, coming off, like, when they stay out the Greenbrier and stuff, I thought it was a bad spot for them. I thought it was a good spot for the ATL. So now they're coming home. Let's not forget, this just hit me. Super Bowl revenge here for the Niners. So they'll be dialed in. They'll be dialed in. I mean, strong lean Niners there.
Okay. Do you, so you've wrapped up the NFL here. You have any college you want to give it?
Well, I do. And first of all, I got the 409 here, the clean it up. And it's a real clean it up. The mascot for the SMU Mustangs crapped on the field after a play. Like, he came out on the field. So I'm watching my app, right? Because I've got some chippers on this game. I'm like, dude, what is going, like, is this app frozen? This has been sitting on the same score and time forever. So I go, pulled it up through the channels. I'm like, what's going on here? And they're not even showing the field. It's almost like the streaker, right?
Yeah, they don't want to give them the airtime.
Right. Well, they don't want to give the horse taking his shit on the field. And so I finally did see the footage later, like, on another channel.
Oh, it was an actual animal.
It was the, yeah.
I thought you meant, like, the dude, like, the cheerleader wearing, like, the costume was doing a prank.
Oh, yeah, I guess because I did say mascot, right? Yeah, no. It was
Chip from CU.
Chip, is that his name still, I wonder?
Yeah,
right. Chip the buffalo would come out. Well, they've got, like, a, you know, a horse or a Mustang that comes out.
Got it.
And so he was galloping out and he's just crapping, and it wasn't just a little like here, it was a for like 30 yards. Dude, wouldn't that be kind of gnarly if you were like the players? You're like
the diarrhea.
You're like, dude, we need to get it a little bit more than just the shovel out there. Like, dude, let's get the scrubs.
The grounds crew with the hose.
And the Clorox. I mean, let's start pouring buckets of Clorox on the field there. So
they didn't have the like that leather basket behind them that tries to catch it.
Good call. They didn't. So this guy's just grunt hunting all the way down, just So anyway, that's the 409, but it also is the college play this week. And what I want to say before I give the college play out is, we gave out Utah last week, -3.5 and the money line, and they won the game, but they didn't cover the 3.5. And Caleb Williams for USC is a baller, just FYI. Wow. So anyway, the college pick this week is SMU +3 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, they've got ranked number 21 in the nation, and they shouldn't be. We'll take SMU in the points.
I like it. All right. You want anything to add here for the the episode? Are we good?
We're good to go.
All right. That's going to do it for week 7 NFL. Don't forget Twitter and Instagram. It's at Bolt Brady Picks. We'll keep you updated there. We will catch you guys next time.
See ya.